Hello and welcome to Press TV's debate. I'm Marzia Hashemi. Thanks so much for being with us. Well, U.S. President Donald Trump has done it again. He's shocked and sent outrage across much of the world. This time, the recipients of his proposals are China and some of Washington's closest allies, such as Europe and Canada. Is a global trade war on the horizon? Well, we will be taking a look at what all of this means on this debate.
In Beijing, trade talks between China and America ended with a warning carried by the official Xinhua news agency that any agreements reached on trade and business between the two countries will be void if Washington implements tariffs. A visiting delegation led by U.S. Commerce Secretary Wilbur Ross had negotiated for 2 days with Chinese counterparts led by Vice Premier Liu He. America has said it wants to reduce its $375 billion deficit with China by ending what it says are unfair practices, including Chinese subsidies for high-tech industries and theft of American intellectual property. China has said it is willing to buy more from the U.S., a point that was reiterated in the Xinhua statement. After negotiations in Washington last month, it appeared that the two sides had reached consensus on how to move forward.
From China's point of view, trade is something we can discuss because we know America's huge deficit is something that cannot continue. We are willing to compromise. We can sit down and reach agreement. Both sides won't get all they wanted, but by avoiding dispute, we both benefit.
Yet in spite of the apparent agreement in Washington, America then said it would move ahead with 25% tariffs on some $50 billion of imports from China. China responded by saying it was not afraid of a trade war.
China is not the only country disputing trade with America. Last Friday, President Donald Trump also angered America's allies by imposing tariffs on imports of aluminium and steel from the EU, Mexico and Canada.
While the three traditional partners have already vowed retaliation, Chinese experts say their country's disagreement with the US is about more than just trade, and America is not being honest about its aims. Low-cost consumer imports from China, such as clothes and toys, are being exempted from US tariffs, which America says it will instead levy on high-tech goods like semiconductors and electric vehicles.
This is not purely about trade. I think it's very likely America has a strategy which is to impede China's progress in high-tech and prevent it challenging American dominance in the field tomorrow. But China's policy of developing high-tech is a national priority. It is not open to discussion and it will not change.
Addressing the Chinese Academy of Sciences, President Xi Jinping last week called for efforts to build China into a world leader in science, technology and innovation. Stephen Rebe, Press TV, Beijing.
I'd like to welcome my guest to the program out of London, economic expert Mr. Shabir Rezvi, and out of Memphis, Tennessee, author of Big Oil and Their Bankers, Mr. Dean Henderson. Thank you both for being with us. Let's start this off in Memphis and Dean Henderson. Why do you think the U.S. President Donald Trump has initiated these trade talks in this way with China?
Well, you know, there's a lot of talk about this free trade. We've been doing free trade really since Reagan. And the fact of the matter is the whole concept of free trade comes from the City of London bankers who are Freemasons or free men. They have free ports in Liberia and Panama where they get tax exemptions on goods going both ways. Look, the bottom line is we need tariffs. We need protectionism. Every country needs it. China needs it. We need it. Iran needs it. We have to have a resistance economy. We have to have an economy that's resisting corporations and banks and the families that own these banks who have pushed this free trade pill down our throats. And it hasn't worked. The average American standard of living is crashing. Everybody's barely making it in this country anymore because the rents are high, the bills are high, and everything's expensive. And the only companies are going to get hurt by this. Yes, corporations are going to get hurt. That's why every time, you know, it looks like there's going to be a trade war with China, stock market crashes. Every time Steve Mnuchin opens his mouth, the old Goldman Sachs hand, and says, oh no, it's off now, then the stock market goes to the moon. Why? Because this is who's going to pay the tariffs on both ends. That's who's going to get hurt. I mean, the high tech in China is happening just as much because of the Rothschild planted corporations in the city of Shenzhen as it is, it's not the Chinese people. It's an offshore slave labor platform. Now they're plugging in train conductors to biometrics where they're actually reading the brain waves of people in these trains and in these factories and controlling them and saying, okay, you need a break, go sit down. Is this what we really want to import? Is this what we, this kind of police state, 5G technology nightmare that's happening in China right now? And when Deng Xiaoping took over in China, did a detente with Kissinger, the international banker's right-hand man of the Rockefellers and so forth, that's when China pretty much went capitalist, in my opinion. They're not a communist country. It's a country that's been taken over by the corporations and the banks and hijacked and used as a bottom slave labor platform for the rest of the planet.
All right, stay with me, Dean. Stay with me, Dean. Let me get Shabir in on this discussion. Stay with me.
And then they export all this cheap goods to the United States.
Stay with me. Shabir, your take on all of this. Now, Dean is talking about the globalist hands and that actually protectionism is something positive for each country. Your take, sir.
Well, there is that perspective that protectionism is certainly good, and I agree to a degree with what has been sort of related from Memphis by Dean. But I think what's important to realize is that America has had a free hand over the last 100 years to manipulate the world economy through its bankers, through Goldman Sachs, through whatever you like to call it. But the reality is that America is unable to accept the uncomfortable truth that it is no longer the, if you like, the controller of the world economy. There are other players on the market, China, India, Russia, Iran, and other developing nations that are sort of coming on the horizon to challenge both America economically, commercially, and politically. The only thing that America has is firepower. And through its over 80 bases all over the world, it wants to control the economy. Yes, the corporations do control a lot of the economy. And yes, the wages are low in China, therefore they're able to export to the USA. But the reality is that China will, by 2020, become a major economic power and perhaps overtake the USA. And I think that's what frightens the elite in the USA and also the bankers and perhaps also the global corporations.
Okay.
That the move is taking place towards the East rather than the West.
All right. Well, Dean, do you think that Trump is making many globalists angry by these moves that he's making and talking about this trade tariffs and this sort of thing? Tell me about that side of things.
Yes, I do. I mean, I think your other guest made some really good points there, and I think there is this denial in America that there's other countries coming up and all this kind of stuff. But you just have to realize that it was never America. It was never, you know, General Electric, Lockheed Martin. These corporations are largely owned by the British. The City of London is a separate entity. It's a one square mile entity within the City of London, not part of London, not part of the UK. Every international bank has operations there. This is where all the derivatives trade from. This is where the free trade concept comes from. They've deindustrialized America while they've deindustrialized even the UK and European countries. They've taken it all offshore to these export processing zones under the free trade agreements, which allow the corporations to go tax-free in these zones, pay cheap labor. They pay off some elites. The elites put the money in through the IMF. The IMF borrows money to these countries. They stay in debt. The elite takes the money, put it back in the City of London. Ershad family from Bangladesh moves to the City of London, lives there now. So do all the Saudi princes and the royals. And it's actually the geographic address, the City of London, for the global oligarchy. So the whole idea that it was always America that was, you know, America's a Hessianized mercenary force. We do have the guns. They gave us the guns. They gave us the guns. We die. We get the debt. And we get to be the big guys, you know, and that's bad. And people in America need to get that out of their heads. We don't want to be that anymore. I think a lot of people are getting that out of their heads. But we're just a little piece of the banker puzzle, see? We're just that. You know, there's other countries that play different roles, other roles. But the whole idea that we can globalize the economy, exploit the lowest wage countries like Haiti, like China, like countries in Africa, like Bangladesh, use those people up like dirt, and then we get to consume stuff for cheap, and everything's a little bit cheaper, crooked, it's corrupt, it's satanic, it's wrong. And I don't have any idea why Trump's doing this. But, you know, it's definitely not what the corporations and the banks want. And as I say, if you want to see what their reaction is, just listen to Cargill's statements. Biggest grain company in the world owns 50% of the global grain trade. 50% of the global grain trade. One company owned by the Cargill and McMillan families. Listen to their response. Listen to the Goldman Sachs response. Watch Wall Street crash when we get the trade war. Watch them go up when it's called off. I'm just saying, even though both sides of this seem to be, you know, under this mesmerizing spell, and part of it's because they hate Trump, and yeah, I know, he grinds on you, and what he's doing to Iran, his foreign policy is terrible, and Gaza, oh my God, it's terrible. But I have to be intellectually honest here, and for whatever reason he's doing this, it's the right thing. Our country was founded on a system of tariffs.
Interesting points that you've made, Dean.
We tax the East India Company 100% on their imports into this country.
Interesting points that you've made, Dean, but at the same time, of course, we know that Trump's one of the main things he would always say would be draining the swamp, and actually Donald Trump would be then, wouldn't you think that he is part of, he wouldn't have interest in actually being pro-globalist instead of doing what you say that is being done and the effects that it is having on these corporations?
Yeah.
Just staying with you, Dean, for just a minute. Go ahead.
Exactly. 1987, Trump buys 93% of the common stock at Resorts International. This is a CIA company founded by Alan Dulles to launder money in the Caribbean for the mafia, for the Rothschild family, for the Meyer Lansky syndicate, which was set up by the Rothschilds. They're the guys behind Bautista in Cuba that Castro overthrew, thankfully. So Resorts International, which was Mary Carter Paint Company originally, They go to Trump, they say, buy 93% of this. So he does. So then he goes and buys the Atlantic City Boardwalk, all that nice property on the boardwalk in Atlantic City. So he's a straw man for the mob. He's a straw man for the Rothschilds. Guess who comes in 1992 to bail him out? Wilbur Ross, current Commerce Secretary, Rothschild Incorporated's bond specialist. Fact. Look at the mainstream media. So this is how it's going down. So they give him favorable terms on his bankruptcy. He gets to keep part of it. The Rothschilds get the Atlantic City waterfront so they can launder all their drug money, all their gun money, all their City of London dirty money on the East Coast, along with Las Vegas. And then Trump gets what? Oh, the presidency. I see. Mm-hmm. So exactly, it doesn't make sense. The only possibility, because Wilbur Ross is negotiating this stuff, trying to sink NAFTA, all this stuff. The only thing that makes sense to me is that both he and Wilbur Ross possibly got a little chip on their shoulder, and they're actually trying, they saw these guys for what they are. They probably saw them turn into lizards, God forbid, who knows. But anyway, we just got to hope that's it. But I'm not holding out any hope for that.
Okay.
Yeah,
he
should be on their side.
Let me get Shabir back in on this. I just wanted to get your perspective about what was going on. Well, Shabir, your take, now you heard a different perspective from Dean. But in general, now we look at the tension, what appears to be tension between China and the United States, and the possibility of how this can affect not only those two countries, but globally, your perspective on that aspect of it.
Well, I think it'd be just interesting to dwell a little bit on history. When Mr. Nixon was the president of the USA and the Bretton Woods Agreement was abandoned and the creation of the petrodollar came in at that time, the Treasury Secretary happens to be Mr. Connolly at that time. And he said a very telling statement over 50 years ago that his philosophy was that all foreigners are there to screw the USA, and it is his duty to screw them first. So if you take that as a sort of a policy statement from the USA for the last 50 years, whether it's through wars they want to screw other nations, whether it's through trade they want to screw other nations, whether it is through lowering the wages in poor countries so that their own workers can get screwed in USA and the United Kingdom and Europe. So the whole strategy is really for the big corporations to win while the small person, the 99% globally, lose out. However, having said that, what you have to realize is that USA has had that domineering position over the last 50 to 100 years, and it really cannot see that that power should be relinquished. Yes, at the same time, the big American corporations, the British corporations, and I happen to live in the city of London, not very far from that 1 mile radius of the city of London, which is the main center of laundering global money, whether it was from the czars of the Russia or whether any other rulers in recent times. Mr. Gaddafi laundered his money, Mr. Mubarak laundered his money through London. So London happens to be a key post for dirty money in that sense, which gets swallowed up into the economy, and then the big corporations win that way. But as I said, the main thing is that American power is being reduced. And I think this is the reality that I think the elite in the USA are unable to accept. And at the same time, Mr. Trump has been put in that position by the deep state, and he really is a multimillionaire. And at this moment, the US government has more multimillionaires than it has had in the past.
Well, Dean, when we look at this situation, which definitely sounds very gloomy, what are the regular people, in your perspective, to do with this situation? Basically, it seems as if all the autonomy, for example, of the United States is actually definitely not in the hands of the American people, but in these corporations, and you're saying basically it's like that throughout the world. So what is key here? What must be done in order to change this around?
It's an awareness. It's an awareness. It's a unity. We have to want to be friends. The Iranian people, the American people, are natural friends. The Persian culture, we share a lot of things, American culture, Persian culture. We're friends. We were divided by the City of London, who took out Mossadegh in the coup, the British Petroleum. You remember, that was the British. That was British Petroleum. It's not a coincidence. They're keeping us enemies. You know, it was no coincidence Boris Johnson came to Trump the day before he said he was going to, you know, get out of this nuclear deal, put the sanctions back on. Everybody, the media reported that Johnson was going to try to call it off. Johnson was there to goad him on, trust me. This is all City of London. They want Russia and the U.S. divided. Why? Because if Russia, the U.S., Iran became allies, Germany, France, some sane countries, throw the British Empire over the side, throw the Holy Roman Empire, which moved to the City of London, over the side, expose the Luciferian plan to dominate this planet out of the Bank of International Settlements in Basel, Switzerland, which if you look at a map, is halfway between London, City of London, halfway between the Holy Roman Empire. Not a coincidence. Look, we're being divided. We're being divided as nations. I don't want people hating my country. This is not my country doing this. I realize it looks really bad. That's part of the shtick. Eventually, they're going to throw us over the side. You understand? Like Panama, like Noriega, like when Saddam took a left turn, they threw him over the side. A lot of Americans are waking up to the conspiracy. That's why they're going to throw us over the side. I guess the Chinese maybe be more compliant. Maybe that's why the Brits did the Brexit. City of London, a little bit further from democracy. They'll probably tie up with China, Israel, the U.S., if they got us, if Trump's with them. You know, let's hope not. But there's a whole plan afoot where they herded people into this EU, and now they want to Brexit it. And again, everybody thinks the Brexit's a liberation. No, Brexit is City of London orchestrated, just like the tariffs. Everybody's got this wrong. The tariffs are a good thing. We need to go after the corporations and the banks. We need to go after the global oligarchy. We need to quit talking about how, you know, America's bad or whatever, or Russia's bad or Iran's bad or even Israel's bad. Israel's just a tool for the City of London, created by the Balfour Declaration, the Rothschild family. Let's go to the head of the snake and let's study it. Let's get aware of it. Let's unify as a global people and let's cut the dang thing off and get on with it.
Well, based on what you're saying, Dean, of course, I'm posing this question to Shabir. Based on what Dean Henderson has just said, I want your take in all of this with what it seems to be a trade war on the horizon. How likely is all of this division to lead to an actual war? Because if division is the goal, which definitely it seems like it is, then ultimately, then the corporate world, what they benefit the most from is actually war. So your take on that?
Well, absolutely right. The previous two world wars that we have had were really created by the corporations, whereby millions of people were killed, and then, of course, the corporations won. And if you look at the last, subsequent to the Second World War, different war theaters, whether it is a Vietnam War, Korean War, or the South American wars, whether it was in Nicaragua, whether it was in Guatemala or Chile, any place else you take it, yes, the corporations have been heavily involved. What I do want to say as a response to our friend Dean is that I don't think anyone hates the American people. I think what people dislike is the American system, the British system, the corporate system, which has exploited the world over the last 200 years without benefiting the ordinary people. Now we have actually become debt serfs in the global sort of game, whereby the large corporations reduce the wages of the ordinary people globally, and therefore their profits go up, and therefore everyone wins. And the corporations and their political cronies, those who run the political power in different countries, they tend to abide by what the corporations want them to do and create a situation of fear, a situation of country against country, people against people, and even in each country, it's like in the United Kingdom, the ruling elite and the corporations trying to create conflict between the old and the young, between the rich and the poor, between the homeless and the people who are living in homes.
Okay.
So all these conflicts are created for the benefit of the corporations globally.
All right, thank you so much. I'm so sorry to interrupt you. Interesting conversation there, hopefully. We'll talk about this another time. Appreciate both of you being with us. Mr. Shabir Razvi, economic expert out of London, and Mr. Dean Henderson out of Memphis, author of Big Oil and Their Bankers. Thank you both for being with us. And as always, viewers, we appreciate you being with us on another debate. I'm Marzia Hashimi, signing off for myself and all the crew right here in Tehran. See you next time.